Welcome to Dancin' Moon Songcast. I'm Scott Simpson, casting from Dancin' Moon Studio in Spearfish Canyon on the north end of the Black Hills of South Dakota, right on the banks of the Spearfish Creek. If you'd like to follow along, you can download a free PDF of my lyric book from scottsimpsonmusic.com/lyrics. And of course, you can find links to all my music there as well. So let's get casting and find out what song we're going to talk about this time. Well, this episode, we're going to talk about a song called People As Tall As Mountains. People As Tall As Mountains first came out on 2013's Edge of the Known. And then the following year, 2014, I released a collection of live recordings called Live in the Black Hills, and it also appeared on that. What we're actually going to do is kind of do those in reverse order. I'm going to play both of those songs, but I think we're going to start out with the live version from 2014's Live in the Black Hills. We'll talk a little bit about that. We'll also talk about the lyrics and the recording, and then we'll kind of near the end of the episode listen to the original version, the studio version, which is very different from the live version, and give us a chance to talk about some choices I made in that. By the way, just in case you're wondering, if you hear any little drops, maybe you can hear that. I am sitting here in my cabin in Spearfish Canyon, and it happens to be raining outside, and I happen to have a metal roof. So in case you're wondering what's going on in Scott's studio, oh, and there's my dog barking. In case you're wondering, it's raining in the canyon today. So we'll start out by listening to People As Tall As Mountains from 2014's Live in the Black Hills and talk about it on the other side.
There's a bird here, it has a broke wing, and there are coyotes, coyotes on the prowl, on the prowl, and there are people, forgot how to sing, oh, they are broken. Somehow,
still.
broken, they are broken, we are all broken. And there's a pine tree was struck by lightning, yeah. Its needles are red brown, red brown, red brown as blood. Mountains, they have fallen. You know they have fallen. And there are people as tall as mountains. They have fallen right where we stood, right where we stood. They have fallen.
So that was the live version of People as Tall as Mountains from 2014's Live in the Black Hills. Before we go any further, though, I want to clarify my current working definition of a live version of one of my songs. I do a lot of work in the studio, and I do a little bit of performing out live for an actual audience, but not a whole lot. And so at a couple of specific points in my work, I have, in order to prepare for performing live, I have needed to say, okay, I've got this particular song. I think it would be a good one to perform live, but all I have is a studio version, which involves multiple tracks and various instrumentation. And so I need to decide, figure out, and maybe rearrange an arrangement that's just for me, solo, singing, with a guitar, possibly a ukulele, and see if that's something that I can do live without a band. And so that's the two live albums that I've had, Live in the Black Hills and Live in the Black Hills Volume 2, are both collections of recordings. Now, they are studio recordings, but they are what I would call live studio recordings. So what I did is did not do any sort of arrangement, did not do any sort of, and by arrangement, I mean multi-track arrangement, no additional instrumentation. I basically hit record and recorded vocals and accompaniment all at the same time, just like a live performance. I have to be honest, there was no audience other than I think for this particular recording, two cats named by my youngest daughter Laurel, Mr. Spock and Lieutenant Uhura. They were listening attentively as I recorded in our basement, actually at a town we used to live in town. And so aside from that, there was no no audience. But I was in the Black Hills, and it was a live performance, and therefore live in the Black Hills. So what I'd like to do is talk a little bit. I tell that story just to be clear about the differences between this version that we just listened to and what we'll listen to in a little bit, which is the studio version. I wrote the song sometime during 2013, and the song really was inspired by, honestly, I think primarily by my grandfather, who was in the process of nearing the end of his life. He did die in February of 2014, but we knew that we were in nearing the end stages of his life. through most of 2013. He did live to be 102, and so you know, that's a good long life. But during 2013, I was thinking a lot about him, about his life, about the process of dying, process of death, also about the process of being a human being, encountering life, encountering death, and what that does to us and how that makes us feel. It also got kind of tied up in another death that was really important, impacted me powerfully from many, many years earlier. 1992, my best friend, whose name was Kirk, died. He was only 28, I believe, 29 maybe at the time, was hit by a car from behind while he was riding his bike to a work event. And that really changed me. It happened at a key time. I was a young father, husband, about to have another child, and it really impacted me, the fragility of life and how death is really mixed in with that. And so then when my grandfather was nearing the end of his life, I was thinking about a lot of memories. And I remembered very distinctly one Christmas, I received a gun from my grandfather. It was a .410 shotgun that actually had been his father's. And it was a really big, big thing. And of course, like most, I don't know what I was, 12, 13 maybe, I was all hot to go out and shoot something. We went out and did some target practice and stuff. And at some point, I saw a bird. It was a woodpecker. And I shot it. And it came down. And it wasn't dead yet. And it was there on the ground, kind of flopping. I don't think my dad was with me. I don't think my grandpa was there at the moment. But, you know, my dad didn't make me feel bad about it. But he said, you know, we really don't want to shoot woodpeckers. That's not, you know, something we hunt. But it was still alive. And he said, you probably need to put it out of its misery because it was obviously not doing well. So I did with a stone, with a rock, but that really impacted me. And it made me realize that I had something within me that recognized and responded and reacted to life in all of its forms. There's something that connects us if we are living, whether we're human or not, whether we're sentient or not. There's something that connects us, being alive, being on this planet together. And I think that's what this song is working on. It's a pretty simple song, the lyrics are simple as well. There's really about two verses, and then it repeats. And the second time around, we get a little more intense, build to a larger climax. It starts out quiet, moves to a louder, stronger, more urgent place, and then moves toward the end. So we'll take a look at the lyrics and talk about it, and then we'll take a listen to the original studio version, which is very different. People as tall as mountains. There is a bird here. It has a broke wing. And there are coyotes on the prowl. And there are people forgot how to sing. They are broken somehow. birds, fragile things, and yet so beyond, beyond the normal walking, crawling beings on this planet. They fly, they sing unbelievably, and yet they're very fragile and very vulnerable, especially when they're on the ground, when they're grounded. And I think dealing with the knowledge that there's this living thing has been stripped of its only escape or protection, its wings. And I know there are things around that are ready to take advantage of that, coyotes. And what that does to me, it brings an urgency when something is vulnerable and there's danger on the prowl in all forms. What do I do with that? Do I say, hey, not my problem? Do I act quickly? Do I just wait for a while? I think as a child, when I was looking at that woodpecker that I had shot and it was in pain, the time issue was important there too. I was thinking, every second that goes by, there's some suffering going on there. Every second that goes by, there's fear. What kind of fear goes through a little woodpecker's brain? What kind of fear does it have when something out of the ordinary happens and takes it out of the air, puts it on the ground, vulnerable? And how quickly do I act? What's my responsibility? The last part of that verse moves towards the people. There are people who forgot how to sing. They're broken somehow. I think in my mind as I was writing this, thinking about the quality of singing, the quality of connecting. You know, when you hear birds sing and then echo each other and then communicate across the treetops, and whether it's mating or it's a warning or it's a, I don't know what it is, but sometimes there are people who have forgotten how to sing. They've cut themselves off from connecting, from feeling. And there's a part of me as a young American boy who says, well, that's stupid to worry about a stupid bird, you know. That's not manly. That's not what we do. Come on. There's something broken about that. There's something broken about not connecting with another living thing. Not feeling. I know there are decisions that have to be made, practical decisions about things, but there's something broken about not feeling that connection. Second verse. There's a pine tree once struck by lightning. Its needles red-brown as blood. And there are people as tall as mountains, who now have fallen right where they stood. If you've ever been out hiking, you've seen, especially in our area, you see lots and lots of beautiful, beautiful trees, tall, tall pine trees. And then every once in a while, you see a very tall pine tree that's dead. Whether it's a lightning strike or some sort of disease or pine beetle or something like that. And all those green, full of life needles turn red-brown. And then they eventually drop off. And then it eventually tumbles over, just kind of rotten from the inside. Something so majestic, so overwhelming, so tall, so above me, that has come down. And I turn to the people again, and I'm thinking of my my grandfather who was about to die, my grandfather, my other grandfather, my two grandmothers who have passed away, my friend Kirk who passed away, and many, many others who I've loved and known and respected and looked up to, people who were tall as mountains to me at some point, who have fallen right where they stood. Commemorating that, knowing where we were, where they were, not just geographically, but relationally, where we were, how far we had come, the stories we shared, the things, the inside knowledge we knew, and they have fallen right in that spot. And so part of that relational piece ended right there. And those of us who are living are still holding that. I'll read through the other half of the song. For the most part, the lyrics are repeated. Just a little more urgent, a little stronger, building toward the end. There is a bird here. It has a broke wing, and there are coyotes on the prowl. And there were people forgot how to sing. They're broken somehow. There's a pine tree once struck by lightning, its needles red-brown as blood. And there are people as tall as mountains who now have fallen right where they stood. They have fallen. They have fallen. Right where we stood. And at the end of the song, in places the we, the I comes in there, at relational peace. So I think the song really is about the pull, the draw, the natural draw of other living things, things that are around us, that are alive, that have breath and life. And greenness, and in many ways, relationship, whether they are human or non-human, the relationships that we have with other living things by virtue of the fact that we too are living and just as fragile in so many ways. And the importance of feeling that, of not just shutting it off, not just refusing to sing, not cutting off from the natural connection that we have with all those living things, and especially the people that we know. I think it is easier for us oftentimes to feel that connection with other people that we're in relationship with pets that we're in relationship with. But I think it's more than that. I think it is all living things, and to strive for feeling that connection in that way is important. And also to strive to feel that connection, especially when we're talking about human beings, with others for whom we might have some negative feelings. I don't think it's ever a good thing to wish someone else's death. I've heard talk of that recently, just in the news, about horrific, horrible people who have done horrible murders, and the statement sometimes made, no one mourns that death. I don't think that's where we want to be. I think it's okay to mourn the death of a horrific person, because we're also mourning the horrible things that they have done for two others. And we're mourning ourselves. We're mourning a human race that frequently falls so short of where it should be. So What I'd like to do, this version was, of course, just a live performance with a guitar and my vocals. I did video that, and so I'll include a link to that video of that live performance. It's in my studio. You'll see my big old headphones on and all of that. But it was interesting to bring this into an arrangement like that, because I think, as you'll see in this next version, the studio version, there was a whole lot of different sorts of things going on. I didn't begin writing this. In fact, I didn't use a guitar at all in this song initially. It was entirely piano. Very simple, and then a lot of other things, and we'll talk about that on the other side of this recording. But right now, I want you to hear this other version of "People as Tall as Mountains." This one comes from 2013's "Edge of the Known."
Oh.
So we come to the end with that mostly unresolved chord. The song, the writing of the song began really with the piano, really simple. It felt like a very vulnerable set of lyrics to me, confessional sort of, but also very vulnerable. And so the vocals were vulnerable. The key is high, higher than the guitar version, which puts my voice in a vulnerable and shaky sort of place. And then taking that vulnerable, shaky voice and trying to make a choir out of it, as I did, was once again something that I think getting at that idea. There are people who have forgotten how to sing. I think the vulnerability in the vocals, I still cringe when I listen to them because I feel like, ah, man, it sounds so shaky, so weak. But that's also the feel of that bird on the ground, shaky and weak, unable to fly, unable to sing, fearful. And so in this version, we get the story in the first two verses, simply, and then we build some strings, mostly lower strings, cello. We build up to the last half of that last verse, and the mandolin comes on and swells, and you know, as I was mixing, I was thinking, oh, it's getting too loud. Maybe I need to pull that back a little bit. It's almost overtaking the vocals, but that sort of fit, the intensity, almost overtaking the singing, almost overtaking the voice. That vulnerability, the intensity of that moment, and of course, all the time in the background, the ambient sound of birds in the woods all around. So, the feeling of the song really, really puts me in a place where I want to just be out in nature, around the living things, around living and vulnerable things, things that could be lost. I think an awareness of that, an awareness of the vulnerability of all living things, of the natural environment around us, how much we've lost already, becoming aware of that, really feeling that down into my bones, and then maybe collectively as a society, maybe we can take that and turn it into something positive, something that looks out for the vulnerable among us, something that recognizes vulnerability, something that doesn't celebrate taking life or wiping out life just because we can. So when we wipe out something that's living, we're wiping out some part of ourselves. So there we have it. People as tall as mountains. In honor of my grandfather, both grandfathers as well, both grandmothers, in honor of my friend Kirk, in honor of so many people that I've known who have been mountainous people, tall people, people you look up to and done amazing things, and in the midst of being amazing, have fallen, as we all will. That's being human. That's being human. Thanks for joining us for another episode of Dance and Moon Songcast, straight out of Spearfish Canyon, where at the moment it is still sprinkling a little bit on my cabin here, where Dance and Moon Studio is. We do put these out every Friday, and we invite you to join us every Friday for a new talk about one of the songs in my catalog. You can find all my music at scottsimpsonmusic.com. You can stream all my music on Spotify, on Apple Music, iHeartRadio, or anywhere else you like to stream music. Thanks for joining me for this episode, and we'll see you next time. Be well.